BBC World Service. Now, BBC Learning English.
Hello and welcome to Talk About English. I'm Callum Robertson. In today's programme, we're looking at the topic of pronunciation, and in particular, what happens to words when they are pronounced not by themselves, but as part of everyday speech. To discuss these topics, I've been joined by teacher, teacher trainer and materials writer Alan Stanton. Hello, Alan.
Hello.
When studying vocabulary, it's important to find out how a word is pronounced. And if you know the phonemic symbols which represent the sounds of English, you can use a dictionary to find out the pronunciation. However, unfortunately, words aren't always pronounced the same. The pronunciation of a word can change in normal speech. Alan, can you give us some examples of this?
Well, there are different types of linking. For example, there's linking of a final consonant sound to a following vowel sound. For example, in the phrase fried egg. There's also linking of a final vowel sound with an initial vowel sound, either with a linking w sound, for example, in the phrase two eggs, or with a linking y sound, for example, in the phrase three eggs. Also, another form of linking is when one word ends in a consonant sound and the next begins with a consonant sound, and when that happens, we don't hear two separate consonant sounds. We just hear one. For example, if we say a bit tired, for example. And then there is also elision, where sounds that we can see in the spelling disappear in the pronunciation. This particularly affects the sound t, represented by the letter t, when it has a consonant sound on either side of it. For example, in the phrase just do it, where we don't pronounce the t at the end of just.
So we've seen that in speech, sounds link, they merge, and they even disappear. But unfortunately, that's not all that they can do. Sounds can also change. Now, here's an example. Listen to two words said individually, then listen to them in a sentence. Can you hear the difference? What is happening where the two words meet?
Good girl. She's a good girl. Good girl. Good girl.
So, Alan, what's happening there?
The sound at the end of the first word is becoming like the sound at the beginning of the second word. So, the d sound at the end of good is becoming like the g sound at the start of girl. It doesn't actually disappear. It actually sounds like a g. So it sounds like good girl.
Good girl. If you separate, you can't separate it, but if you did, it would sound like good.
That's right.
Okay, and why is this happening?
Well, this feature of connected speech is called assimilation. And what's happening is that when we speak fairly fast and fluently, our lips and our tongue are getting into the correct position for the next sound before we've really finished saying the sound before. So the preceding sound starts to resemble the following sound, simply because of the speed at which our tongue and our lips are moving.
So our brains and our mouths are thinking ahead of what we're actually saying.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, we have some more examples here showing different things. And I think in this example, we can hear how one word can be pronounced in a few different ways. Let's hear some more examples.
We can go now. We can go now. Can go. Can go. We can buy it. We can buy it. Can buy. Can buy.
So, Alan, a number of different ways there of how the word can is pronounced.
Yes, in fact, we've got four possible ways of pronouncing the word can. We may hear it as can, which is a strong way of pronouncing that word. We may hear the weak form, can, or we may hear two different assimilated forms. For example, we can go, where the N sound at the end of the word can is starting to resemble the G sound at the beginning of go. So actually, it sounds like the sound we have at the end of words like going and doing, the sound represented by NG, it's we can go. And then the fourth possible way of pronouncing this word can is in phrases like we can buy, where the N sound at the end of can is just before a B, so it starts to resemble a M sound. So it's not we can buy, but we can buy it.
Well, there are some more examples of this that we're going to have a listen to now. Again, listen to the two words first, and then listen to them in the sentence, and can you work out how they change?
Green Park. I walked through Green Park. Green Park. Green Park. On Monday. He arrived on Monday. On Monday. On Monday. Fine by. It's fine by me. Fine by. Fine by.
And Alan, again, if you could explain those examples.
Well, what's happening when we say Green Park is we have a N sound at the end of green, followed by a P sound at the beginning of park. So the N sound at the end of green starts to sound like a M. So instead of Green Park, it's Green Park.
And this, or it makes it easier to say, doesn't it?
Yes, I'd say that that's the normal way in which you will hear people say Green Park.
Mm.
And in the phrase on Monday, here we have a N sound at the end of on, followed by a M sound at the beginning of Monday. So this causes the N sound to change to be like a M. So it sounds like on Monday. And in the phrase it's fine by me, it's very similar. Here we have a N sound at the end of fine, followed by a B sound in by. So the N sound starts to sound like a M. So it's fine by me.
You're listening to Talk About English from the BBC World Service.
And today in Talk About English, we're looking at pronunciation and what happens to sounds when words run up against each other. Now, sometimes we heard earlier on that sounds can disappear and sounds can change. Now, sometimes this happens in a single word or more than one thing happens at the same time. Let's have a listen to an example of that. This is from a single word.
Hand bag. I can't find my handbag. Hand bag. Handbag.
A handbag?
What's happening here is that we start off with three consonant sounds in a row, N, D and B. Now, because of elision, the D sound disappears. That puts the N sound next to the B sound, and it starts to change to a M. So that's assimilation. So we have elision first, followed by assimilation. So it sounds like handbag. And again, I think that's the normal pronunciation you will hear from almost everybody, handbag.
Yes, and obviously we're not talking about a bag which you carry your ham in.
No, we're certainly not. But if we did, it would be pronounced the same way.
Yeah, right, OK. Yes, so a handbag. Would it be wrong to say a handbag?
No, it wouldn't be wrong. I mean, it's perfectly correct and people would be easily understood. It's simply that we don't very often hear that full and complete pronunciation of every sound in the word.
That's an example from within a single word, but this also happens in sentences when words collide together. And we have an example of that now featuring a very old London monument.
St. Paul's. I'm going to visit St. Paul's Cathedral today. St. Paul's. St. Paul's.
And so, as with the handbag, St. Paul's, the same thing happening there, Alan?
Yes, it's the same kind of thing. First of all, instead of saying saint with a strong pronunciation, we're using the weak form, sunt. And then we have a N sound and a T sound and the P sound at the beginning of Paul's. And what's happening is the T sound is disappearing. That's elision. That puts the n sound next to the p, and it starts to sound like a m. So it becomes St. Paul's.
And there's one other kind of assimilation we're going to look at today, Alan.
Yes, there's a particular kind of assimilation known as coalescent assimilation, which is a little bit different from what we've been talking about so far, because in this kind of assimilation, both sounds, the two sounds, change to a third sound, which is not one of the two that we started with. For example, if we say, could you come tomorrow, we have a d sound at the end of could and a y sound at the beginning of you. What happens is that those two sounds merge together and create a third sound, which is could you come tomorrow. So we have a j sound, which we didn't have when we started. We just had d and y to start with.
Now, this is actually very common in fluent speech, isn't it, this kind of assimilation? We have a couple more examples of when you're likely to hear it.
Would you? Would you like some tea? Would you? Would you? Did you? Did you see it? Did you? Did you?
So this is very common, isn't it, Alan? Would you, could you, did you?
Yes, it's extremely common, and I think it's quite important that learners know that if, for example, they are studying the simple past tense and they see did you, that if, in fact what they're going to hear is did you. It's not did you, but did you like it. That's what it actually sounds like in normal English speech.
And we've got one final example here which puts a number of these features together. And let's have a listen to that, see if you can work out how many words are in this and what's actually being said.
Do you want to get a cuppa?
I think we should hear that one more time.
Do you want to get a cuppa?
Do you want to get a cuppa, Alan?
There are a lot of things happening here. First of all, the first two words, do you, there we have an example of coalescent assimilation, because it's due. And then in the next two words, want to, we've elided the t sounds of, well, in fact, both of the t sounds have disappeared. So that gives us wanna. With get a, they've linked together. So we've got a word ending with a consonant sound, get, linking with the following vowel sound to give us getter. And in the last word, cuppa, that's one word which we've made from three words, cup of tea. And we've elided quite a lot there, because in fact we've elided a complete word, because the word tea has completely disappeared. The f sound in of has also disappeared. It's been weakened to a, so it's instead of cup of tea, it's cuppa.
Right, so do you want a cup of tea? Do you want a cuppa?
That's right.
So when this happens, it's not surprising that many people find listening a difficult skill, because often what you hear doesn't seem to match the words on the page. So, Alan, finally, what's your advice for students on how to deal with this in studying and learning pronunciation?
The features that we've been looking at are the inevitable result of speaking fast and fluently. So the more fluently learners speak, the more likely they are to have these features in their speech. Now, there's no particular need to deliberately practice them, because it's really a mechanical process. If you speak fast enough, that's what happens. However, I think knowing about these features and knowing how they work can help a lot with listening comprehension, because it can help you to decipher what you're actually hearing.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. Alan, thank you very much again.
Thank you.
Remember, you can listen to our programmes online and do a range of exercises, including pronunciation practice, on our website at bbclearningenglish.com. Hope you can join us next time for more Talk About English. Goodbye.